Who is the most influential person in your life that has gone on to be with the Lord? I want you to get that picture of somebody in your mind. For most of you, you probably already thought of who that person was as soon as I mentioned it, because they meant so much to you. In fact, they left such a lasting impact on your life that your life was changed simply because they were in it. Well, listen, in just a few minutes, we're going to look at some passages out of 2 Kings chapter 2, actually verses 1 through 15, where Elijah was taken away and the mantle was passed on to Elisha. So grab your Bible, come on back in just a minute, and we're going to look at the influence that Elijah had in Elijah's life. We look forward to being with you. Hey folks, welcome to our Wednesday Bible study at Central Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elijah is taken away and the mantle is passed on to Elisha. Now, a few moments ago, I asked you about who was the most influential person in your life that has gone on to be with the Lord. And for many of you, that conjured up some really, really good memories. Lessons that you learned from their life, whether they spoke those lessons to you or whether you were able to understand those life lessons because of observing how they lived their life and how they acted or reacted in various and sundry situations. And you know, it was kind of sad when you lost them. And in a lot of cases, it was one of those situations where you were like, I'm thankful for what I learned, but boy, I sure wish that they were going to be around as I continue to mature so that I could watch and glean even more from them, both watching their life as well as having a chance to talk to them about the varied and sundrious things that help each and every one of us grow in regard to the Scripture. Because like I said, one of the things that I mentioned before is that somebody has gone on to be with the Lord. Hopefully they were a good, godly influence in your life. Those are the ones that you want to remember. Let's take a look at our text. Our text comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Verse 4, then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' So he answered, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on. Verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?' Elisha said, 'Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so.' Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and so thankful for, Lord, the fact that you still use your servants. Father, we're grateful that we have this opportunity to be able to gather in your name. Lord, even if it's by way of technology, by way of a broadcast, we're grateful for the fact that your spirit knows no bounds. And Lord, you want to speak to us through your word. We're grateful that your word tells us that wherever the word of the Lord is proclaimed, it does not return void. So, Father, you want to speak to us today. Your Holy Spirit can move in our hearts and in our lives. May you teach us from your word today to draw closer to you, to pick up the mantle and go forward. Now, Father, as your messenger for these moments, I pray that you would be with me, that you would lead and guide me, that you would use my voice, that you would use my lips to proclaim your name, that your people might be drawn closer to you today. And Father, as always, we pray, if there's one in your presence that does not know you, that today truly would be the day that there would be rejoicing in heaven over the saving of that soul. So, Father, be with us now during this time as we pray this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yeah, folks, as we look at this story today, this is one that you've probably heard if you've spent any time around church or vacation Bible school or Sunday school. But in our story today, it was time for Elijah the prophet to go home to be with the Lord. Now, it's very interesting that Elijah is one of the two people that we read about in the Word of God that did not experience or taste death. That is the reason why there are many who believe that Elijah will be one of the two witnesses that will be proclaiming the word of the Lord outside of the temple during the time of the tribulation. And that's another message for another day, but part of the reason for their believing that is simply because of the fact that Elijah never tasted of a physical death. And the passage that we're looking at today tells about how he was translated, how he was taken up in a whirlwind to be with the Lord, not through death's door. So, in our text today, it has come the time for Elijah the prophet to go home and to be with the Lord. Now, there was a special relationship that Elijah had with Elisha. Elisha was one of those who followed, watched what Elijah was doing. He was there for many of the special opportunities that Elijah had to be used of God. He saw the miracles that took place by the prophet Elijah. He saw how he walked with God. And because of that, he didn't want to leave him. Now, you'll notice that there were several times that Elijah was saying to Elisha, you stay here, I'm going to go on further. And yet Elisha said, I'm not going to do that. Man, I've been with you this far. I'm going with you the whole way. Now, you know, when you look at this situation, I like to think of it this way. One of the special things that God has called the church to do, he's called each and every Christian to do, is to be a disciple, number one. And when I say a disciple, I mean, first of all, in the way of salvation, you know, a follower of Christ, one who's given their life to Christ. but also a disciple in such that we should be in tune with God's word, that we should learn and that we should grow, that we should walk with wise and godly people, that we should be in the text. And too many times, when we think about discipleship, a lot of people go, oh man, discipleship. Man, I have a discipleship group that of men that meet on Sundays, but I love that group. We have an opportunity to get together, to talk about the scriptures, to talk about how they impact our lives on an individual basis, how they impact our lives as a group, and we can grow from one another. Man, what a great opportunity for discipleship. Now, when we look at this relationship between Elijah and Elisha, Elisha was a disciple of Elijah. In other words, Elijah was discipling him. He was watching what he was doing as he followed the Lord. He was there. He got to see these wonderful things. He got to hear the words of wisdom from the prophet Elijah, and therefore, because he was hanging out with this wise prophet, he was being discipled along the way. So you got to remember that anytime you saw Elijah and Elisha, most of the people were looking toward Elijah as the one being the prophet, but yet Elisha was the Batman to his Robin. He was the salt to the pepper. He was the peanut butter to the jelly. But yet Elisha wasn't necessarily the one who was driving the bus, as they would say. It was always Elijah. And Elisha was comfortable with being there, being a part, and learning and understanding more about the Lord as he was discipled by Elijah. Now, on three different occasions, once at Gilgal, once at Bethel, and once at Jordan, Elijah asked Elisha to stay behind. Now, we know that what we read a little bit later on in this text, that Elijah knows that it is time for him to be going home. Now, what was the reason behind he didn't want Elisha to be with him to see it? I don't know. I don't know that the text doesn't give us the answer to that question. But along the way, when they came to Gilgal, he told Elisha, he said, just stay here. I'm going to go on down to Bethel. Well, Elisha says, no, I'm going to Bethel with you. So they got to Bethel, whatever the leading of the Spirit was in Elijah's life, he told Elisha, he said, you stay here. I'm going on down to Jordan. And he said, nope, not doing it. I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. And then, of course, he goes with him on down to Jordan. So Elijah has asked him to stay behind. The text doesn't really tell us what the specific reason for that is. But one of the things we know is that along the way, Elisha refused. He was not going to stay behind. Now, you would think that if Elijah, the one who is the discipling you, the one who Elisha held in high esteem, you would think that he would do, for lack of a better word, his master would ask him to do when he asked him to stay behind, but he didn't do it. Now, my question for you is, why do you think that Elisha refused to stay behind? Why do you think that he said, no, I'm going with you wherever you go? Well, one of the things is that Elisha was very loyal. That is something that is extremely hard to find in this day and age. And when I say loyal, he was loyal for all of the right reasons. It wasn't that he was just simply loyal to Elijah, the person. He was loyal to Elijah, the prophet of God, as he followed him. He knew there was something special there. He knew that there were things that he could learn, things that he could glean. He knew that he could learn to walk in godly ways much better when he was with Elijah. And that loyalty kept him right by his side the whole time. He said, nah, he said, I've come this far with you. I am going the rest of the way. You can say what you want. You can ask me what you want. But the bottom line is, where you go, I'm going with you. Now, what happened was when they got down to the River Jordan in verses 7 and 8 of our text, there was a miracle that took place when Elijah and Elisha came to the Jordan River. It says that Elijah took his mantle and it said that he struck the water with it. And when he struck the water, it says that it parted this way and that way. Now, bottom line is this, the waters parted. Now, this is not the first time that that we've heard of such a thing happening or taking place in the Bible. But it says that as they got down there, it said there was 50 men that were facing them on the other side. Elijah takes his mantle. He strikes the water. The waters part their ways. And it says once again that Elijah and Elisha went through to meet them on dry ground. A miracle of God once again. And this Elisha is seeing things like this take place all the time as he is walking with Elijah. He knows there is something special about what Elijah has, and he wants that. Now, hold that thought. Notice what I said. I said he wants that. People would say, well, how do you know that he wants that? A little bit later on in our text, we know exactly why. Now, think about the times in the Bible where God miraculously parted a body of water for somebody. I mentioned a moment ago, this is not the first time that we've heard that. You will remember when Israel left Egypt, and they kind of had their backs against the Red Sea, and the enemy, Pharaoh and the Egyptians were closing in on them. And it says that, Moses took the rod and he held up his arms. And it says that God parted the waters and they went through on dry ground, at which point the enemy tried to follow them. And then the waves closed in. We also find another time in God's word where the waters were parted. And that was when it came time for Israel to go into the promised land. And that was when the Jordan was parted, so that they could go through. Folks, this is a tremendous lesson from God that each and every one of us can learn. When it appears that there are obstacles in our way that are too numerous for us to overcome, if we are following God's will and we are following God's way, God is going to make a way. Now, I do want to point something out about the crossing of the Jordan when God parted the waters for Israel to go into the promised land. If you will remember at this particular time, after they'd been in the wilderness for 40 years, the marching orders were that the priest would carry the ark. The ark would go before them. And remember, the ark represented the presence of God to them. And as the priest carried the ark, the waters didn't part as they got up to them. It wasn't a situation where as they were going forward, all of a sudden the waters just peeled back and they walked right on through like you'd open your garage door as you're pulling up to it. No. As a matter of fact, as they approached it, everything looked just like it did as they were far back. You know, the waters hadn't parted. It wasn't until the priest's feet touched that water that the waters parted. Now, here's another lesson. Again, another message for another day. But how many times has God told us, go to the other side? And we're standing on the embankment with an obstacle in front of us, and all the time God says go. Yeah, maybe God's waiting for you to put your foot into the water before he parts it. Yeah, he's wanting to see if you're going to step out in faith and following him to do exactly what he's called you to do exactly what he's asked you to do. So at the situation of our text today with the waters being parted, it's not the first time, it's not even the second time that we read about that in God's word. And one of the greatest lessons that we can learn from that is there's no obstacle that can get in our way that is too big for God when he has us on a mission, when he has us heading in a direction. And sometimes we just need to say, you know what, I know there's a tremendous obstacle in front of me, but I'm going to keep on heading in that direction. And as you get closer to it, God is going to make a way. God's going to show up in time. He shows up on time every time. It might not be on your time, it might not be on my time, but it will be in God's time. And his timing is always right, and his timing is always perfect. What a great lesson that we can learn when it comes down to the situation that we're reading about in our text today, where the Lord parted the waters. And what a great lesson we can learn from all of the times that the Lord parted the waters for his children. Now, Elisha, as he gets to this time, Elijah asks him. He says, ask. He says, if you have a request, you need to ask it now. Elijah knew that his time was running out. So he asked Elisha, what is it that you want? Ask me anything that you want. And he makes this request before he was taken. In our text, you'll see that in verses 9 and 10. Let's go look at that real quick. Verse 9 says, and so it was that when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha says, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, he being Elijah, said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away from you, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so." So Elisha has asked something that was very big. He said, not only do I want blessing that is upon you to fall upon me, I want double that. You know, now from the perspective of Elijah's probably thinking about all of the hardships that he's had to face because of that blessing of God. You know, I love it when at times over the years, and particularly when I was heading into ministry, I would ask those questions in the old days. I'm like, well, yeah, how do you know that you're called? And you know, a lot of the wise old preachers would used to tell me, they'd say, well, I'll put it to you this way. If you can go do something else and have contentment and happiness in doing so, then you need to do it because you've not been called to preach if you can. You take a lot of shots. You're in a world that doesn't like the Lord. You're talked about. You're persecuted. There's all kinds of things. And I love what some people would say. They say, well, I think the Lord's calling me into ministry. And some of the older ministers say, do something else. Now, I say that in somewhat facetiously, but many a truth has been spoken in jest when you hear that from people, because it is a very tough road to be a pastor in this day and age, much like it would have been in Elijah's day. To be a prophet. Now, when we think about the request that Elisha made to him, and he says, not only do I want a portion of the blessing that God has bestowed upon you, I want a double portion of that. I want twice what you have. Do you think that this was an honorable request? Think about that for just a moment. Some might say, well, boy, that's asking a whole lot. You know, does he really deserve to have that? You know, and some would say, well, yeah, I think that was an honorable request because he wanted to do things that were right. You know, some people would say that Elisha said, I want to do just like you did, but I want to do even more. I want to do, not necessarily say he would do it better, because when God does it, you can't get any better. But he says, I want to be like you. I want to have what you have. Yeah, how many times in our Christian walk, and particularly that person that I asked you about at the beginning of our broadcast, that meant so much to you in your life and your spiritual walk that are no longer with you, how many times did you say, man, I wish I had a walk just like him or just like her? They are an example to me. I want to be like them. Not only do I want to be like them, I want to be, you know, even better than they were. I want to strive to be what God wants me to be. So, depending on how you look at it, I think it was an honorable request. I don't really think that Elisha knew the full ramifications of what he was asking for, but I think it was an honorable request. Now, when it comes down to the point after this is taken, Elijah tells him, he goes, well, he says, I can't really give you the answer to this question, but he said, I will tell you this. If you see me when I'm taken away, then your request is answered. If not, then your request is not answered. So I can just picture what it was like as these two men continued to walk. And then it just says, all of a sudden something happened. Go to verse 11 with me in our text. Verse 11 tells us this. It says, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Man, could you imagine what Elisha must have been thinking? I mean, he might have even been knocked down. Anyway, something, and we know what the something was. It says a chariot and horses of fire separated the two of them. In other words, you know, they were walking so closely together that as God was going to take Elijah, he moved Elisha out of the way. And as he moved him out of the way, maybe he fell to the ground. Doesn't say. We don't know. But he saw what happened. He saw him being taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. And then verse 12 tells us, it says, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And then he did something else. One of the things that was left behind when Elijah was called up was the mantle that he was wearing. And verse 13 tells us, it says he also, this being Elisha, it says he also took up the mantle of Elijah when it had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Now hold that thought for just a minute, because we're not quite done with our particular text yet. As I recall that, you know, there's somebody else in the Word, because, you know, when you think about it, here was Elijah. Elijah didn't taste death. He was called up without physically dying. He was called up into heaven. But there's somebody else that's also mentioned in the Word of God that was also caught up into heaven without seeing death. Can you remember who that is? Do 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 do. Well, if you said Enoch, you got it right. Enoch was another one who was translated, as we call it in the religious circles. He was translated into heaven. In other words, he was taken up and did not taste of death. So you had Elijah and Enoch who did not taste of physical death. Now, a question that's been asked of me before, I've been asked before, do I think that there will be other people who are like that? Let me give you the greatest spiritual answer that I can give you. I don't know. And the reason I say that is because God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, anytime he wants, to whomever he wants, and be justified in doing that. Is it possible that he could do that again? Yes, it's very possible, because with God, all things are possible. Is it probable? Probably not, but it's not impossible. So, as we consider and we look back, now all of a sudden, Elisha's life looks different than it did before. The one that he loved, the one that he followed, the prophet that he took mental notes from, who he learned to walk with God from, is now gone. Now, when Elisha took up that cloak or that mantle of Elijah, what did that indicate? In verse 13, the verse we just read, it says that the mantle was left and he picked it up. This was a symbolic action. You know, in other words, Elijah's gone. Who's going to fill his shoes? Who's going to take up that spot? You know, well, Elisha is now the one. It says that, you know, we've often heard Elijah's mantle fell upon Elisha. Now that Elijah's gone, who will be the guy that will take his place? Who will be the next spiritual leader? Who will be the next one to disciple somebody? And that is what this was indicative of. When Elisha picked that mantle up, in other words, it was saying, now it's your turn. Now it is your time. To be the one to, and I like to use this term, drive the bus. You've been riding the bus that I've been driving for a long time. Now I'm gone. Now it is your turn to drive the bus. It is your turn to be a leader of God's people. It is your turn to be the one to disciple somebody. It is your turn to live the life that's going to be pleasing not only to God, but it's going to be an example to those in your life. Yeah, think about it. What did it imply when God parted the Jordan for Elisha, as he had done for Elijah in verse 14, is where we see that in our text? Yeah, it basically, what happens is when Elisha gets up and he picks that mantle up, he goes back over to the Jordan, and he's probably thinking, okay, I know what this means. If I've picked this up, now I'm the guy. Now I'm the driver, but do I have it in me? Do I have the capabilities? And it says that Elisha did the exact same thing that Elijah did. It says that he struck the water with the mantle. And when he did, something amazing happened, yet another miracle. It says that the waters parted just like they did for Elijah a little bit earlier. And that was an indication to Elisha that, yep, you're on the right track. You are the man. The mantle has fallen upon you. It is now your turn to be the leader. It is your turn to be the one to disciple. It is your turn to be the one to teach. And not only that, it was done in the presence of those 50 that had watched them before. In fact, the word tells us that they came and bowed before him as well and said, yep, now we have seen proof that you are God's chosen for this particular position at this particular time. We've said that as we study our Bible, that we need to look for examples to follow. And in this case, Elisha is a great example. His actions are a great example for us to follow. Because you know what? When he got up after Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, he didn't sit back and say, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. He didn't leave the mantle laying on the ground. He knew exactly what was going on. And folks, you and I do too. We know that there are times when God is calling us to do things for his His kingdom and for His honor and for His glory, and we're just not doing it. We're trying to play dumb. You know, whether it is God needs you to be that Sunday school teacher, or God needs you to step up and fulfill this particular ministry or whatever, the mantle is laying right there at your feet. The question is, are you going to pick it up? And some of us are sitting there going, we're just acting like we don't see it. Folks, let me promise you this. God's placed it where you can see it. The question is, are you going to pick it up? Are you going to be faithful to God? Are you going to trust Him that He's going to be with you just like He has all the other saints that have gone before, and that He will use you for His honor and for His glory? In this case, Elisha picked that mantle up. He even went and tried it out. What a great example to follow. Listen, what mantles are in your life that you need to pick up? And some of you may be saying, well, I don't get exactly what you're saying there, Pastor Roy. I don't quite understand you know, what it is that you're talking about. And maybe that's legitimate. Maybe you don't. But I'm asking you to listen to what the Lord is speaking into your life about. Look around you to see what it is that He's asking you. When someone has discipled you, let me ask this question. When is it time to pick up the mantle? You know, many of us, for most of our spiritual life, have been being discipled by someone, much like Elisha was by Elijah. At what point is it time for you to take that step and not just be discipled, but be the discipler? Yeah, maybe God has called you to do just that. And you'll have the questions in your mind, just like Elisha did. You'll be like, well, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if this is right for me. I just don't know if I can do it. I certainly can't do it like him. I'm sure Elisha probably thought in his mind, there's no way I can do what Elijah did. And here's the thing, he would be exactly right. But let me make you this promise. God didn't call Elisha to do exactly what Elijah did, in the same way that He will not call you to do what that mentor in your life has done. He is calling you to a new field. He is calling you to a new ministry. He is calling you to do God's work, God's way, and He has uniquely gifted you in a way by which to do that. So if you've been being discipled, at what point is it time for you to pick up the mantle and say, it is my time to go forward? You know, I hear people all the time say, you know what, it's time for me to retire. Well, I've always said, you never retire when it comes down to your spiritual walk. You can't. As long as God gives you breath, you're not retired. But I will say this, I've seen people before who were great Sunday school teachers, great Bible scholars, and maybe life got them to the point where their eyesight wasn't good enough for them to be able to see the scriptures like they used to, and maybe they couldn't teach that Sunday school class anymore. Well, God has somebody lined up to step into that place. Their whole life has been about teaching and training you to be able to fulfill that position. The question is, will you pick up the mantle? Will you go forward? You know, what will you be required to do in regard to that situation? I can't answer that question. Only God can. Elisha didn't know what would be required of him as he picked it up and went forward. He didn't know. It's one day at a time, sometimes one moment at a time. Now, here's a big question for you, okay? Are you ready? Are you ready to pick up the mantle? Are you ready to move from disciple-y to disciple-er? Are you ready to walk out in front? Are you ready to drive the bus? Now, some of you probably said, you know what? I think I am. Great. Start looking for the doors that God will open for you to do that. Some of you probably said, I don't know if I'm ready yet. This is the general response because it's something new, and it can be something that's a little bit scary. Elisha, at that particular point, maybe didn't feel like he was ready because he didn't even know if the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him until such time that God showed him that He did by parting the waters. You know, it's about picking that mantle up and seeing what it is that God has next for you. Are you willing to do that? Are you ready to do that? My prayer is that you will be. You know, when you take up the mantle of spiritual leadership and you do it in faith and you do it with courage, God is going to do some incredible things for you. He's going to show up for you just like he did for Elijah and just like he did for Elisha. But you remember, you got to do it God's way. God's given you unique gifts and talents and abilities to do what he wants you to do. He's prepared you for this. He's built you for this. And he's given you everything that you need. Isn't that cool when you think about it that way? You are ready to go. Maybe you have been in the school of learning for so long, and now it's time for you to take that leadership position. Will you do it? Maybe that's what God is asking you today through me. Are you willing and ready to pick this mantle up and to be something for the kingdom of God? You know, I believe with all my heart that there are consequences when leaders refuse to take up the mantle. I've seen it. I've heard personal testimonies of it. Sometimes people are like, nope, I see it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to have any part of it. I don't want to live in that sort of, under that sort of microscope. And I've watched God do some things that have made those people say, I wish like crazy I would have taken that mantle up. I wish I would have done what God asked me to do when he asked me to do it. Now I can't, but I live with a life of regret. Okay. Also think about it this way. What about the good and the happy things that they find when they pick up the mantle and go forward? The opportunity to be used, to be the hands and the feet and the voice of God in somebody else's life. There is no greater privilege on this earth than to be used by God to see those things happen. Man, it's a joy. I love it. I've had that experience since I was 15 years old to be used by God. And listen, you got to remember, it's not about who you are. It's about who God is and using you. He uses you. You're just an instrument for the Father. But man, just to be a part of that is such a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. Are you willing and ready to do that? You know, we need to pray for one another to know when it's time to take up the mantle. See, that's another really good question. Is it time for you to take up the mantle? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But if it is, I want to encourage you to pick it up, run with it, drive the bus, be what God wants you to be for the kingdom of God. If it's not, then learn, pay attention for those that are around you so that when your time comes, you will be ready. Can you do that? That's what our prayer is, and that's what I'm going to pray in just a moment. But for now, I want to give you what our Bible readings for this week will be. This week, we're going to be looking at readings from the book of 2 Kings, chapters 2 Kings, chapters 7 through 10 and 12. So in other words, that's 2 Kings, chapters 7 through 10 and 2 Kings chapter 12. Those will be your five chapters for this week. Next week, we will discuss a day of good news, which comes out of 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 11. I hope and trust that you'll be able to join us. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you, we thank you so much, Lord, for the encouragement that you give us through this particular biblical passage. Lord, we know that there are times when we need to be discipled, when we need to grow close to you. But Lord, there comes a point in a time when you call us to take up the mantle. You call us to drive that bus. You call us to be the lead in discipling someone else. Maybe we've been discipled our whole spiritual life. Now it's time for us to disciple somebody else. Father, we pray that as you speak to us, you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Help us know, Lord, when it is time for us to grab that mantle and be all that you want us to be. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's represented, each and every family that is represented around this broadcast today. I pray for an extra portion of your grace upon them. And Lord, I just ask that you would just do some incredible things in and through their lives. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' special and precious name. Amen. Hey, folks, thank you for joining us again for a Wednesday Bible study at Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you do live in the area, we would love to have you come visit with us. Our address is 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge. You also see through the broadcast. Our website is on the screen as well. If you have any questions, if there's anything that we can do to help you in your spiritual walk, please take that moment to contact us. We would certainly love to hear from you. We love to celebrate with you in any way that we possibly can. So I pray that you're going to have a great, great week. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. God bless you.